few movies, take a few notes.
It was fun.
So as you know, doing a podcast is a labor of love. We love you, and you love to listen to us. If you'd like to love us a little more, you can visit our newly created Patreon at patreon.com/XHR podcast and consider maybe donating to the show. You get some cool stuff in return, so it's not for nothing. Or you can visit our T Public store, order up a shirt, a mug, a sticker, a magnet, a pillow, a mask, a phone case, you name it. Head on over to our T Public store and pick something up for yourself today. The easiest way to get there is to go to our Instagram page, XHR_podcast, click the link tree in the bio, and get to it that way. And I'd like to give a very special shout out to our first patron, Mark, from A Podcast on Elm Street. Thank you, Mark, for being our first.
What's up, you ding-a-lings, and welcome to another episode of the Extreme... Fucking A.
Extreme.
What's
replay
up?
Horror.
What's up, you dinglings, and welcome to another episode of Extreme Horror Replay. Fucking A.
NPR.
They did talk about us in their last episode too. I'll have to let you listen to it, but yeah, just another friendly rivalry with the boys over at
Slash Technical U. School.
And we need to. Well, they didn't call us Extreme NPR. So they did actually call us by the right name.
Okay, but they threw that first blow. So
no, the friendly rivalry with
friendly.
It is friendly. Yeah, with Nick and Andy at Slash U. Okay, so yes, I am Ben, and I am here with my stunningly fucking weirdo wife, Nancy. I love her to death, but she's weird sometimes. So, yeah, together we are Extreme Horror Replay Podcast, and she is the queen of Would You Rathers, so she is going to hit me and you all up with a Would You Rather. So, hun, please take it away.
All right. Would you rather be tortured by having red ants go into your butthole or okay. Tabasco sauce? Red ants or Tabasco sauce?
In my butthole.
In your butthole.
Okay. Okay. I'm thinking the red ants would not survive very long. So even if they managed to last for... oh, man.
Really? You want bugs all over here?
Okay. My logic is that if you put Tabasco sauce in your... in your butthole. What the hell?
Oh, yeah. Try to pretend like that doesn't just flow off your tongue.
My thinking is that if there's Tabasco sauce in my butthole, it's more likely to stay in there longer. And my thought is that if there's ants, I know they'll be biting, but my thought process.
Get through
where? What do you mean get through?
You know, the barrier, the rosebud.
No. I was thinking about the inside. Right. Okay. So I'm thinking if there's ants on the inside,
for the ones
they're not going to survive very long.
Their brains are going to be incapacitated past a certain point.
And I've got butt cheeks that'll crack a walnut. So I'm thinking most of them I could like clench to death.
Your butt cheeks couldn't crack Nutella.
I think I'm gonna go with the ants, the red ants.
Okay.
And I mean, maybe on the plus side, maybe it could tickle and feel kind of
pervert.
Feel kind of. So, yeah, I'm going with the ants. What about you?
I am most definitely going with the Tabasco sauce.
Oh, see, I think if you put Tabasco sauce, it's going to like
it's linger. It's going to hurt. There's no doubt about it. But.
Okay.
At some point, the pain is going to end. And who knows how long the little red ant bites are going to irritate you.
Oh, see, I didn't think about that.
Well, you already gave your answer. You can't go back.
No, now. I know. But I
take you backsies.
I didn't think about, the lingering bites and the pain from...
You know how they go from itchy to, like, then they ache for, like, the first day, like, really... Like, anytime it's touched, it aches, and then, like, by, like, the second or third day...
Then it would probably start throbbing.
You have to push on it for it to, like, really hurt, but...
Yeah. All right. All right, I'm still going with the ants.
Okay.
All right, yeah. Call me a pervert if you want to, but I'm going with the ants. okay, so this Would You Rather has absolutely nothing to do with the movie that we watched for today's episode.
You told me before you got on that I couldn't surprise you.
Surprise me with what?
You said you'd never be able to surprise me. And I said, oh, I think this one will.
Okay, yeah. So it did, but okay, I guess I should correct that. Your level of insanity never ceases to surprise me.
Thank you.
It might be a backhanded comment, compliment, but yeah. So, yeah. Okay. So, wait,
what if that means like the crazier and psychotic I get, like the sexier I get?
It's very much a strong possibility.
We'd be like Paul and Yoko if, like.
John and Yoko, you did that in another episode. God, I wish I remember what episode that was now. But you said Paul and Yoko instead of John and Yoko. Damn it, I don't remember what episode that was. But yes, you did that.
It's my. Do you ever think about this picture what you're gonna say?
Yeah, but you were picturing the wrong thing.
I know.
Fuck. I'm going to have to go back and listen to all our episodes to find that. But yes, I swear.
Okay, if you can find it, because I don't think it's ever happened before. If you can find it, I want you to put a clip on here.
I will. It was.
I doubt.
Oh, shit. What episode was that?
You might just play the time that I said it on this episode and then like try to tweak it a little and then be like, no, this is the first time you said it too.
Oh, God. Well, I know what I'm doing all day tomorrow is listening to old episodes to find the answer. Yeah. Okay. Yes, I'm sure you did, though. I know 100%. I will find the episode.
Paul and Yoko.
Yeah.
Why would he even say that?
I don't know.
I did it twice.
But like I said, you did say it before.
I did it twice, allegedly.
Well, yeah, not allegedly. You did.
No, we don't have proof.
I'll find it. Okay. So Paul and Yoko and Red Ants or Tabasco sauce have absolutely nothing to do with
it. I'm going to tear you apart. The first mistake that you make.
I'm sure there'll be plenty. And absolutely nothing to do with the movie that we watched. The movie that we watched for today's episode was Drag Me to Hell from 2009. And it does score a 6.6 on IMDb. This is one of those movies that it could or has been called like the fourth installment of the Evil Dead trilogy. It is very much, obviously Sam Raimi directed it and it very much follows his style of directing and his style of like cinematography and all that kind of stuff. And even some of the characters and like the animations of the, like the evil goat and, mm-hmm. You know, all that kind of stuff. So this is one of those movies. It has sometimes...
What Raimi was in that other movie that we just saw?
That was Ted Raimi.
So how many of them are there?
I think there's three. There's Ivan, who was a co-writer on this movie. Sam Raimi, who directed this movie, All the Evil Deads, the two Spider-Man.
Was he in the supermarket movie?
Both of the... Ted and Sam were in Intruder.
Okay.
Ted Raimi, who was on this, was in... I don't remember what movie we were watching, but he was Skinner, if you remember that one, where the guy actually wore the other people's skin.
Mm-hmm.
Had the porn star. What was her name?
Tracy Lord.
Yes, Tracy Lord. Funny you remember that. You remember that, but not John and Yoko.
John Lennon? Who the hell is he?
Yeah. So, but, where was I?
I don't know.
So, yeah, this movie is directed by Sam Raimi. It did come out in 2009, like we said.
Can I bring up one more point from the last conversation?
Sure.
Those Raimi men look exactly alike.
Oh, I had a face.
Like, oh, I thought you were like indicating I had something on my face.
Yeah, they do.
They all look exactly like they're like the opposite of the Carradines.
The Carradines look nothing.
Nothing alike. And that's kind of like the Arquettes are like that too. But I think they were all born on a commune or something like that. So they might all have different.
Well, the one's even a woman though.
He passed away.
She
passed away.
Okay. No, they don't look anything alike either. So no,
that's what. But you get the Raimis together.
Yeah, I would. Well,
if they were going to do it like a lineup in front of you, would you be able to say that's him and that's him and that's him?
Well, Ted is a lot skinnier. Sam is a little bit chunkier. I don't think I've ever seen Ivan, but they all do have like very similar facial structure and stuff like that.
Okay, that's so more detail than I thought you'd give me, but.
Well,
but thank you for agreeing with me.
No,
it's just a point I had to make because it's like
and facially, yes, they do all look very similar. But yeah, I could be able to tell because, like I said, Sam is bigger, Ted is skinnier, and Ivan I've never seen. So I think it was Ivan. I'm pretty sure it was Ivan, which is a weird name because I believe they're from Detroit. I know Ted Raimi.
Well, yeah, you told me because the supermarket from Intruder was what on like.
It was supposed to have taken place in Commerce Township. It was directed by
the early 80s.
It was directed by Scott Spiegel, who was good friends with Bruce Campbell and Sam Raimi, who was also good friends with the Coen brothers, who directed Fargo. And that's why the story about the head in the street was in
Raising Arizona
and an Intruder.
So there is a connection.
Yes. Ted Raimi, I know for sure, I believe still lives in Detroit because on his Instagram, he's always posting pictures of him in the downtown area.
Hmm.
So you may have driven past him on your way to work and not even known it.
I may have, passed him on the sidewalk without knowing it.
So, but yeah, again, so the movie that we watched, yes, Drag Me to Hell, 2009, 6.6 on IMDb. One thing about this movie, okay, I know you like this movie. This is one of your, I mean, you said it's one of your more favorite kind of goofy horror movies.
But do you want to know like the biggest reason why?
Probably because you like Christine's style of dress.
No.
No?
No. It was a good guess. I'll give you that. But the real reason why I like this movie is because it reminds me, like the store that they're in. Is that not like Sifa's?
The store that they're in?
Yeah. The supermarket.
That has nothing. They're not in it. That's Intruder.
I said the original, you better roll it back, because I said the movie with the supermarket, and you said Intruder, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know what these movies are called.
Yeah, no, you said Drag Me to Hell was one of your favorite movies.
No, I was still talking about...
No, I just said that you said Drag Me to Hell was one of your more favorite goofy...
Oh, okay, I thought you were talking about Intruder still. Sorry. Edit that out.
No, okay, so, all right, we'll take that back. Okay, so you said that Drag Me to Hell is one of your like more favorite like goofy kind of horror movies. It's not quite as goofy as like Shaun of the Dead or Tucker and Dale, but what is it about this movie that you like? I mean, because obviously Sam Raimi directed it, but he also directed Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness. Everybody knows that you hate Army of Darkness.
Mm-hmm.
What makes this movie more different from like Evil Dead or Evil Dead 2 and makes it better to you than those two movies?
Okay. I'm going to be honest with you. Her coat was to die for.
Okay. So you like the way she dresses.
That's pretty much what made me remember it. I probably wouldn't have remembered it if it weren't for the coat.
So, like I said, you like the way Christine dresses. You like her sense of style.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And who was it we said she looked like? Pam from The Office and...
Sarah Paulson.
Sarah Paulson. Yeah. Okay. So...
As far as the plot, I mean, it's kind of cool. I mean, the scene in the parking garage, I know you're going to get to all this.
Yeah.
There was a couple of scenes that I would have remembered, but it would have been like one of those, like 6 months from now saying, what was that movie where they were in the parking garage?
Okay. All right. Well, okay.
That's so, how I remember Little Death.
The sex movie?
Yeah. Good movie.
It has two names, Little Death and I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
But yeah, okay.
They changed
it. So, okay, yeah. Anyway, so the movie starts out and there is, I don't know if she was Mexican or Hispanic or like Spanish or whatever, but she...
Romanian.
The very first woman?
Oh, no, I thought you were talking about the old mom and the dad
brought, or like the, it was definitely, they were, I'm pretty sure there was, well, yeah, because she said por qué.
So they would have been Spanish.
Yeah. So a mother and a father bring their ailing son to, I guess, what would be considered like a priestess or a witch doctress or something. And they're talking about how he's been having nightmares. He's hearing things in his sleep. And he, long story short, he ends up dying. He gets pulled to hell in her, foyer or this giant like ballroom looking place. And then we cut to like a modern day. Christine, who is the main protagonist, works at a bank.
Notice the coat though. I mean, I have to.
You did end up going trying to find that.
I tried coat. Everywhere to find it. The coat is fabulous.
So.
And she does wear a floral blouse. It's also really.
So apparently Nancy.
What was the movie about?
Yeah. It was about a coat and a blouse.
Yes, I remember.
Yeah. If that's all we had to do.
The only
to
reason why
movie.
The only reason why I kept watching it is because of the button that was that's gonna happen.
This is driving you nuts.
It was. Get the button back on the coat.
There's no resale value in that. So Christine, who is our main protagonist, works at a bank. And she's kind of bucking for this promotion for like a vice presidency job.
And she's like a from the farm, like wet behind the ears, I guess. Sort of, right?
Yeah. Well, because as she's driving to work, the first, like when you first introduced to her.
Yeah, she's trying to
she's doing
voice lessons.
Yeah. What was it? The round sound is the most. Pound or something like that.
Something to get the hillbilly out of your...
Trying to enunciation. Trying to work on her enunciation and pronunciation of certain words. So her boyfriend, Clay, who is played by that guy from that other movie, he is a psych professor. And
Justin Long.
I totally don't know what her name is in real life, but so her boyfriend Clay is a psych professor and she ends up leaving work. She goes to visit him for lunch. And as she is leaving, she overhears a conversation of Clay and his mom. And his mom is telling Clay about this other woman that she would like to introduce her to.
Yeah. Somebody that was a little bit more fitting for him.
Somebody a little bit more fancy. Yeah. Somebody who's not quite as country bumpkin as Christine was. And now, did she deliver the coin to him at this point, or was that a little bit later? Just keep it in mind, she gives him a coin at some point.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
A 1929 Standing Liberty quarter.
That was when they got back home.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay. So Christine goes back to work.
I think.
It doesn't matter. Anyway, she gives him a coin. It does play a role in the movie. She goes back to work after lunch, and this old, gnarly-looking gypsy woman comes in, and she's asking Christine for an extension on her mortgage.
An extension on her extension.
Yeah. She's already had two, according to the paperwork. So Christine...
And she plays the old bag card.
Oh, yeah. Well, she does more than that, too, but...
When I'm old, I'm, you know, halfway there.
I'll put you down.
I'm not going to be wearing a babushka.
Right.
I'm not going to be having hairs that need to be plucked off my chin.
It gets a lot worse than that, yeah, too.
No Werther's Originals or
shampoo
set.
She was gumming that candy. So this gypsy woman comes in and she's asking for...
I said, I'm not going to be getting a shampoo set. And I don't have any. So, forgot about that.
Yeah, that one slipped by you. she comes in for this loan extension, a loan extension on her extension, and...
She doesn't really ever ask for it nicely.
She doesn't really, but...
She starts out making the viewers absolutely hate her.
Well, she does because, okay, well, first of all, I mean, her look is hideous.
Right.
She's got, like, one funky eye. She's got, like, and she's, like, drooling and just...
Creepy. Just very creepy.
Nasty looking.
And we're supposed to... I feel like her, like, you know...
Her demeanor.
Yeah. She's trying to, like, make it look like she is... They owe her another extension.
Right. Just because she's old.
Yeah.
And foreign.
Yeah.
So... She asked Christine for this extension, and Christine kind of takes it to her boss, and she says, hey, look, she's asking for this extension. What should I do? And the boss says, you know, hey, you're looking for this vice presidency job. This is the kind of decision you're going to have to make on your own. And sometimes making tough decisions is, you know, exactly what you're going to have to do. Yeah. So Christine goes back to the gypsy woman. And she tells her, listen, I'm sorry. We've already given you two extensions on your mortgage. We can't do it again. And as prior to this, Christine is walking up. This old woman had pulled out her dentures.
So she could suck on some hard candies.
Yeah, Christine had this bowl of hard candies on her desk. This woman had pulled out her dentures, set them on the desk on this, like, napkin or, handkerchief or something. And she's like, basically, like, filleting these pieces of hard candy.
Why does she have to take her dentures out to do the hard candy? There's no reason.
So she doesn't rake them? I don't know.
There's absolutely no reason. If anybody knows the reason why anybody with dentures has to take them out to suck on hard candy, you please tell me.
I don't know. I mean, Werther's Original, like you said, is a favorite of older people.
Yeah.
And I pretty sure they don't take their dentures out to eat the Werther's Original. No. So,
well, if you had to take your dentures out to suck on hard candy, wouldn't you be seeing old people with their dentures out, like, everywhere?
That's all they eat. And those little, like, the little swirly candles, like the white candies, the white and red, or the, like, the white and orange, like...
The peppermints?
Well, those too, but they've always got, like, butterscotch discs and...
Oh, yeah, they're the spun sugar.
Like the orange and cream and the strawberry and cream. I don't know who makes them. But
taffy?
No. It's a hard candy, but it's just like an orange and white pinwheel or a red and white pinwheel looking candy.
Oh, I don't know.
It's not the peppermints, but it's like fruity.
Yeah.
Like just fruit and cream.
Basically sugar solidified.
Yeah. or they got the, what are the, like, the little, they almost look like glassy. And it's like, usually get them around Christmas time.
Candies?
Yeah, it's a candy. It's almost looks like not translucent, but like shimmery.
What shape is it?
I've seen them in like football shaped or barrel shaped or.
Translucent.
You'd know them if you saw them. I don't know how to.
You're going to have to look it up. I absolutely have no idea what you're talking about.
If any of the listeners out there know what I'm talking about, it's usually you see them around Christmas time. They don't come in a wrapper. They've kind of got like a shimmery look to them, and they're generally like a fruity flavor, but they come in like, I don't know, they're not like, I don't know.
They come in like a little cellophane wrapper, or?
I don't think they do. They're usually just sitting out loose.
Like buttermints? Are you talking about buttermints?
No. Buttermints aren't shimmery. They almost have like a.
You look it up on your phone. I got to see what you're talking about.
I don't know. Let's see here. Those right there. Old fashioned Christmas mix.
Yeah. Old fashioned hard candies.
That's what I said. You get them around Christmas. They're shimmery.
But they're just old-fashioned hard candies. Like the stuff that they'd put out in like the 1940s.
You didn't say old-fashioned. You just said hard candies. You said shimmery.
Those are not shimmery.
I looked up shimmery candies, and this is the first thing that popped up. Old-fashioned Christmas candy assortment. So that's what we're going with.
I am pretty sure that was one of the options.
It wasn't one of the options.
I was pretty sure it was one of the options, and I was correct.
No. So anyway, this old bag is stealing candy.
She had it on a bowl on her desk.
Well, Kristen...
But she is leaving her dentures on like a folder on the desk, I think.
She dumped the bowl of candy into her purse, didn't she?
Did she?
I'm pretty sure she did. So anyway, Christine comes back and says she's denied. The old woman begs to her, begs and begs and begs.
You shame me?
And Christine says no. And she calls over security because the old woman is like literally like tugging at her clothes, trying to get her to say yes.
At this point, you're like, no, I'm not feeling sorry for you anymore, you old bag. You ruined it for yourself.
So security escorts her out and... Security escorts her out. I'm just thinking of the way you said that. You shame me? So security escorts her out, and this is where we get the first glimpse of Sam Raimi's old Chrysler or Oldsmobile or whatever his car was, that yellow car that's been in like every one of his movies. But anyway, so Christine leaves work. And she's walking through this parking structure, la-di-da, about ready to go home. And suddenly this floating, like, handkerchief comes and, like, floats up in front of her face and tries going down her throat and all this sort of shit.
What did I notice about that handkerchief, hon, when we were watching it?
That it wasn't covered in goobers and loogies or, like, drool.
Because the old bag coughed in it. And I said, that is not a handkerchief right. that has had hard, dried-up loogies on it. Right. Like flowing around like silk.
So this Christine gets into her car after this handkerchief attacks her, and the old gypsy woman. Oh God, no!
So this keep a mental note that might be on one of my future would you rather.
Yeah, right. So this cat fight. This cat fight inside of Christine's car takes place, and it's the gypsy woman in the back seat and Christine in the front seat. And Christine is like, she's got this stapler and she's like stapling the old woman's head. And there's like staples stuck into her forehead and her eye and all sorts of shit. And then the old woman moves in and she starts gumming on Christine's face, like sucking on her chin. And I don't understand what kind of defensive move that is, but except to maybe gross her out. But
okay, I'm pretty sure that the person that would try to be doing it would not get past the whole drooling thing before.
You know how
when you're like your fight or flight response mm-hmm. happens and you have like superhuman powers.
Yeah.
Well, seeing that phlegm come down, drip, that would like trigger my fight or flight, and I'd have her like off of me. Like,
and you just vomit in her face. That would win.
Well, she'd deserve it.
So, so the old woman is punching on Christine. She's gumming on her, like, I don't know where her dentures are, but she's gumming on her mouth, her chin, and all this stuff. And Christine ends up grabbing this ruler and, like, sticks it into the gypsy woman's throat. And the gypsy woman is like...
like she's got a hairball.
Yeah, and she ends up coughing it up, like, and it shoots out of her throat like a bullet.
So at this point, you're knowing that she's not like a...
She ain't normal.
She's no normal old lady.
So, and then, you know, they do like this whole, like, they get into like, Christine takes off in her car and she crashes into one car. And of course, the gypsy woman is still fighting her in the passenger seat. And then she backs up into another car and Christine ends up kicking the woman out of her car. And somehow she falls out of the car, too. I don't know how she fell out. But the gypsy woman takes this button, pulls this button off of Christine's jacket or her coat. And she,
that was tough. That was a hard scene.
she speaks a couple words like, I do a dembella, and like curses the button. And then she gives it back to Christine and says, like, here you go. Fuck you. So Christine now she's back with her husband, Clay, or her boyfriend, and they're walking down the street, and they come across this, like, fortune teller, this little, like, a fortune teller store, or storefront, or whatever.
Well, you know, a fortune teller.
Yeah. Okay. So,
long story short.
Yeah. So they go inside, and the fortune teller, his name is Raj. I assume that's how you say it. R-A-A-J. Raj. Raj.
Yeah. Raj. Raj.
So Raj. Okay. Anyway, so Raj is the fortune teller, and he, you know, he takes the money, grabs Christine's hands. He says, oh, you got like a dark force around you, blah, blah, blah. You need to be careful. And so they're like, okay, fuck it, whatever. And Christine goes home. Clay drops her off. Christine goes home. And suddenly she's haunted by these, like, malevolent spirits of some sort. Like, the windows start knocking. The pots and pans on her little hangy rack thingy are, like, knocking against each other and everything. And there's shadows floating. And there's lights swishing and all sorts of stuff. And
what is the word for, and they always used it on ghost hunters, like when you want to conjure up a spirit?
Conjuring?
No, it's like conjuring, but it's not conjuring. Like making, like pissing them off, annoying them, like provoking them.
Provoking the dead?
Provocation.
Oh, provocation. Yeah, okay.
All right, sorry. Continue.
Okay, so she ends up leaving. She goes to spend the night at Clay's house. And they're in bed, and they're both sleeping. Clay and Christine are both sleeping. This fly starts buzzing around Christine's head. Buzzing in, buzzing out. Kind of like lands on her eyelid, and she flitters her eyelid, and the fly buzzes off. And then, you know, the fly buzzes back, and it lands on her lip. And then she kind of brushes it away. Then the fly comes in, and it flies up one nostril, or crawls up one nostril, and you kind of hear it buzzing around, and it almost sounds like it's in a cave, because it's like in her sinuses or gross. Whatever.
It's hard enough to get up her, to get your finger up there, right?
I don't know. I don't pick my nose.
Yeah.
So.
Those nostrils. I'm kidding. Go on.
So, Christine. The fly goes up one nostril, and you hear it like fluttering around and buzzing in her like sinuses, and it sounds like it's in a cave. And then it like crawls out of her other nostril. And just as this is happening, Christine wakes up in a quick snap, and the gypsy woman is on top of her, and the gypsy woman barfs like mealworms and like roaches.
They tried to think of the most disgusting things on the planet, and like, they put it in this.
And like this, like it all goes into Christine's mouth and her, like her nose and her face, just all over everywhere. Mm. And then Christine snaps awake, and it was just a dream. Now we're back at work the next day at the bank, and Christine is, Christine. She's talking to this couple, and suddenly she gets a bloody nose, and her boss comes up to her, and she says, oh no, it's fine. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. Everything's under control. And then suddenly like she burps up like a whole mouthful of blood. And then this blood just comes like fire hose,
across, like 6 feet across,
like a fire hose out of her nose, blast the boss all over the place. And she's trying to cover herself up, like, oh my God, you know, what's going on? And the boss, the only thing he can say is, do you see any in my mouth? Is there any in my mouth? And it was just like the way he did that. And then she's standing there like embarrassed and like, you know, she's got blood all over her shirt and dress and all that stuff. And it was just kind of, it was funny, but it was like.
It was one of the producers from, I was trying to think where I recognized him from. Oh man. What the hell?
Brain fart?
Quiz show.
Right.
The producers from
Quiz Show. Yeah. I can't think of his name, but yeah. I know who you're talking about. So
that was the bank manager.
So
in case y'all wanted to know.
Christine now, obviously she leaves work because she can't work with a bloody nose and a bloody clothes and everything. So she leaves and she pays a visit to the gypsy. And this is where she learns that the gypsy is dead. So whoever Christine talked to at the door. I guess it was one of the gypsy's niece.
The girl that was the doctor from Shameless.
And also on the movie The Little Death.
The Little Death, yeah.
Damn it, burped. So she goes in, she talks to the gypsy niece. And the niece tells her that, hey, you know, my aunt is dead, but you can still pay your respects. So Christine goes in to pay her respects to the dead gypsy, the old woman. And somehow the dead gypsy woman still ends up managing to attack Christine while she's laying in this coffin. And
yeah, it's
this is the second point of their cat fights that the gypsy woman pulls out a giant clump of Christine's hair.
Yeah, and that's a running theme.
which I was just going to say. Yeah, which is it becomes a thing throughout the movie. And she actually manages to gum Christine again, even though she's dead somehow. So Christine goes back home after this fight, and she's tossed around the room and her house by this like shadow goat looking, shadowy something or other. Now, Raj, the fortune teller, had told Christine that you could do a blood sacrifice and that would,
rid the evil spirits.
Yeah, get rid of the Lamia. The Lamia, or Lamia, is the name of the evil spirit that has...
So just get rid of the evil spirit.
Right. So, yeah, whatever. So Christine decides to do a blood sacrifice of a kitten that she had fostered. So she ends up stabbing it like 10 times, and you see the blood splashing up on her, and she ends up burying it in their backyard. Now we go to a dinner at Clay's parents' house. Clay's mom is
super bitch,
still being an asshole, talking to Christine about how she
super still bitch.
Well on the phone call, and then okay. Yeah, so super bitch. So yeah, Clay's mom.
Oh, they made her out to be like.
Oh, I know. Well, yeah, totally. I mean, they did it for a reason, I'm sure, but. So Clay's mom, yes, is still being a super bitch asshole, and she's kind of like putting Christine down because she was raised on a farm, and her mom was an alcoholic, and she used to be chubby.
Yeah, you're not worthy of my son.
Yeah, exactly. So they're sitting there, and they're eating dinner, and they get through dinner, and Christine kind of hears like these noises like coming from like somewhere in the house. I don't know. And then they decide that they're going to break out dessert. And Christine had brought a cake. And they're all sitting around eating this cake. And suddenly Christine's cake starts like breathing or
yeah, she brought moving it
or something.
She brought it in and she kind of made, she told them it's an old family recipe.
Right.
And it looked like a really thick, dense carrot cake, but with glaze instead of frosting.
Yeah. And so they're sitting there and they're eating, and Christine's cake, her slice of cake.
I only caught a glimpse, but I could tell you that much.
So it did look, I think they called it a harvest cake.
Yeah.
I think that's what you called it. So
it looked like something you'd like.
Maybe. I don't know.
I
got a hearty appetite.
you like the fruit stuff and the nut, not that crap that they serve at Thunder's.
No. Okay. No. I like a good hearty cake though.
Yeah.
So
have you ever had fruit cake? I've never had it.
Like actual fruit cake?
Yeah.
No. I don't yes, I have. I don't like it. I don't like fruit cake, like Christmas fruit cake. It's not the density, it's the
sweetness, the grossness of it.
Fruit. It's like spicy fruit. How the fuck do you make fruit spicy?
Banana nut bread, apple pie.
I like banana nut bread.
Apple pie, apple turnovers.
Yeah. Apple I like strudel. That. But that's not spicy fruit.
Cinnamon is considered a spice.
You don't make the fruit spicy because there's the spiciness of the cinnamon, but there's also the sweetness of the apple. Like fruit cake, the fruit actually tastes spicy.
You can't be prejudiced against one fruit with a spice over another fruit with a spice.
I'm not saying that no, you're misunderstanding. It's the actual fruit that is spicy. Whatever the fuck they do to fruitcake, it tastes like horse shit. Not that I've ever eaten actual horse shit, but fruitcake is not good. Your apple dumplings and your apple pies are phenomenal.
Mine personally or like
no, in yours. General?
Thank you,
hon. Especially like you dribble butter and the caramel over the top. It's fucking good. Nancy makes a killer apple dumpling. Homemade, from scratch, everything, dough and all. So anyway, but we have the recipe if you want it. Anyway, so she's eating this cake and her cake starts like pulsing or breathing. And then this like eyeball opens up right in the middle of this cake. And she's like, Christine is sitting here
buzzing around and
she's trying not to like freak out. And she's hearing these voices all around their house and like in her head. And she ends up taking her fork, stabs it into the cake, and the eyeball starts like bleeding and pussing all over the place.
Of course, she's the only one that can see this.
Right, exactly. So,
and she's over there. She's at her boyfriend's parents' house, which she's already intimidated by.
Yes. And so she ends up burping up a fly. And maybe the fly didn't come out of her mouth when
I felt offense to that because I suffer from indigestion.
So, but
I want that scene deleted.
She ends up burping, and the fly that had previously flown up her nostril or into her mouth, she ends up burping that out, and this is where she ends up getting up, like, freaks out. And she's like, we gotta fucking go, it's time to... So her and Clay take off.
Is this the point when I pointed out that it was one of those gross iridescent flies?
That was when it was actually flying into her mouth and nostril and stuff.
Yeah. That's a separate story. You know where they've been on, the last thing they've been on.
Poop.
Do you ever see a regular fly on poop? No, you always see the fancy iridescent looking
with
ones.
The green, they look like those little Christmas candies with the shimmery.
They said, but why do we have to eat poop, God? And God said, well, I'll make you pretty.
That was a good one. I'm gonna lose it. That was the damn funniest thing I've ever heard. Okay.
I can't control what comes out of my mouth.
You can control what comes in your mouth. All right. So.
I can control what goes in my mouth. I can't control what comes in my mouth.
Oh, boy. That was a good one. So. So Christine goes back to Raj and she says, he says, listen, I got somebody I can put you in contact with to rid you of the Lamia, the evil spirit, but it's going to cost you 10 grand. So Christine goes back home and she's gathering up all this stuff, like old, like musical instruments that she used in high school, old musical instruments that she's I got nothing else, like power tools and ice skates and all sorts of stuff. But anyway, so she's gathering all this stuff up. She takes it to a pawn shop. No, before she takes, okay, scratch that. She's gathering all her stuff up and the gypsy ends up showing up. She's got like a shed in her backyard and she's fighting with this gypsy again, who is supposedly dead. And she ends up spying, and I don't know why the fuck, but she's got this anvil suspended from
what was up
the,
with that?
The ceiling of her shed, and it's tied to a rope, and the rope is tied to a post. So Christine takes this ice skate that she had collected, or that she was holding, and she takes the ice skate, and she cuts the rope with the skate. And the anvil falls on the gypsy's head. The gypsy's eyeballs go shooting out of her face, hits Christine in the mouth, plasters her face with like goop and bloody eyeball stumps or whatever. And of course, Christine again snaps awake, or not snaps awake, but like snaps back to reality, and the gypsy is gone. So Christine, Raj, this old woman from before, the old, like Hispanic gypsy woman or Hispanic like priestess or ghost doctor, witch doctor, whatever. This is when they're doing this, like, I guess it would be a seance or a ceremony or like a sacrificial ceremony with this goat. Bunch of ghosts arrive, like that apparently have been possessed by this Lamia before. You know, things start moving, plants and pots and windows are shuttering and crackling and busting up and all sorts of stuff. And the Lamia possesses the original, while the old lady's possessed, Christine grabs the old lady's hand, presses it to the goat's forehead or the goat's head, and the Lamia jumps from the old woman to the goat. This is where the old goat starts yelling at Christine, like, you know, fuck you, bitch, I'm gonna fucking get you. I don't know what it actually said, but
she has utter disdain for this old bag already, so.
Right. So, and then the goat bites the third assistant, and Christine ends up taking the machete or the knife that was going to be used to kill the goat and ends up hacking the assistant's hand off. And then the assistant gets possessed or is still possessed. He ends up getting pulled somewhere and dies. Raj tells Christine to give the cursed item, which is the button that the original gypsy had pulled off of her coat,
mm-hmm.
that Nancy,
fabulous coat,
he says, you can give this item to someone and it will banish them to hell. You have to make sure that they are accepting of the gift. It doesn't matter who you give it to, but if you give it to them, they will be the one that the curse is passed on to. So
not real strict rules, just.
Yeah, just give it away.
Yeah.
And make sure they accept it.
Yeah.
So Christine goes to this diner. Christine goes to this diner to start looking for people. Like, who can I find, you know, to take this? She ends up finding out that one of her coworkers had stolen documents from a loan that Christine was working on, ended up taking it to another bank, and got the whole thing canned. So she contemplates giving it to him, but instead of giving it to him and cursing him to hell.
It was the guy from Contagion, right?
Was it?
I thought we had established that. Well, now it's not. Then I'm going to be embarrassed.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Keep talking.
So she ends, instead of actually cursing him, she ends up just making him feel like utter shit. And he cries to her and says, oh, I'm sorry, I'll never do that again. What she ultimately decides to do is take it back to the grave of the gypsy and give it to the gypsy herself, so that even though she's dead, not only will she not be able to deny the gift, but she will have to accept the gift, which is the same thing as not being able to deny it because she's dead. So she ends up digging up this gypsy woman's grave. She opens up her coffin, and at this point, it's like pouring rain. And again, the gypsy pops up from this grave somehow. They get into some other weird ass, like, funky fight. And this is the third time in the movie that the gypsy somehow grabs a giant clump of Christine's hair.
It wasn't the same guy.
So Christine ends up jamming this envelope that held the button into the gypsy's mouth. And she's basically like, fuck you, I won, kind of thing. She decides to go on this trip with Clay, or her and Clay are going away on this trip.
And they set it up. You're going to be happily.
Happily ever after. He's got a ring in his pocket.
Yeah.
He's going to propose to her. She ends up buying a new coat because obviously her button is missing off her original coat.
Okay. You're kind of glazing over one of the more significant parts of this movie, and that's the fact that she doesn't have the coat that's fabulous anymore. But she gets a new fabulous coat.
I was getting to that. She threw out her old coat because it wasn't so fabulous because it was missing a button. So she said, so she decides to buy a new fabulous coat, as per Nancy, that has all the buttons. She goes to Clay. She meets him on the train platform, the waiting platform, and he says, oh, hey, by the way, look at what I found. She goes to meet Clay on the platform waiting for the train, and he's like, hey, where's your other coat? And she's like, oh, I threw that away. I got this new one. He's like, well, that's a shame because, hey, look, I've got your button in this envelope here. And she's like, oh, my God, what the fuck? Oh, shit. So she starts passing out, realizes that the coin, the 1929 Standing Liberty quarter that she had given to Clay, was actually the envelope or in the envelope that she had shoved down the gypsy woman's mouth in the grave. And it was not the button that was cursed by the gypsy. So she starts freaking out. She's backing up. She's like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. She ends up falling onto the tracks just as a train is approaching. And just as the train is approaching, or just before the train hits her, the ground opens up. A bunch of freaky ass looking demon hands grab her and drag her to hell. Credits roll. See what I did there? I said drag it to hell. Drag her to hell.
That's right.
Yep. Fuck. I fucked that up. Anyway, so.
Yeah, it was good. It was powerful. Yeah. I was sitting right here.
I'll show you powerful later. So, that's the movie. I mean, it's, okay. Besides the fashion part of the movie, did you enjoy the movie?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
Knowing that Sam Raimi directed this movie, and knowing that some of the cheesier parts of this movie, the talking goat, the gypsy woman coming back to life, all that kind of stuff, would you give, like, Evil Dead or Evil Dead 2 another try? Even just a try. Not for the show, but just a try.
Well, let me ask you this.
Okay.
Did the button ever make its way back to that coat?
Well, no, because she had thrown the coat out. And she ended up dying. See,
that leaves a bad taste in my mouth about the movie. So, no.
No?
No.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I just figured I'd ask.
I just want to see the button on the coat. That's where it's happy. That's where I'm happy.
That's what matters most. Okay. All right. You are so fucked. All right. 1 through 10. What would you give this on the gore score?
Gore score? Oh my gosh. The phlegm? 9.
Okay. Just for the phlegm?
Phlegm and spit and gumming and...
The fly crawling up her nose.
Yeah.
The vomit on her.
Yeah.
Or the bug vomit.
Definitely a 9.
Okay. And overall, what would you give this overall?
Overall, I would give this a 4.
Take the coat out of it.
All right, a 3.
Okay. But you, I mean, honestly.
Would I watch it without the coat? I'm at a 3 level, yeah.
Okay, but honestly, though, did you like it?
Thanks to the coat, I did.
No. Just forget the coat that's in the movie. Did you like it, honestly?
It was a good movie.
Okay. All right. So would you recommend it to somebody, then?
If they liked movies like Army of Darkness, I would say you would really like this movie. But actually...
But you didn't like Army of Darkness.
No, I didn't.
But you somewhat enjoyed this movie.
Somewhat. It was somewhat better than Army of Darkness.
So you would recommend it to somebody,
I feel like,
regardless.
I feel like the beginning of this movie was more based in reality than Army of Darkness was.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think that's what separates the two.
Okay. All right. I'm just curious. I cannot even criticize your gore score and overall score anymore because you are way all over the place. So
I always like to keep it interesting.
You do surprise me. So you're giving it a 9 on the gore score and really just a 3 overall?
No, it would be a 4.
Okay. But you did somewhat enjoy it.
Yes.
And you would recommend it to somebody else.
Yes. And I think this is the third time we saw it. The second time we saw it is because I said something to you about a movie that we watched and the girl was in the parking garage. Yeah.
You said it was because of her coat.
Well, yeah, I've always thought about the coat.
Why the fuck did you...
I've always longed for it.
Remember such weird shit.
I've thought about it and fantasized.
You bought a coat just like that.
It doesn't look good on me.
Everything looks good on you.
It makes my shoulders look like I'm a linebacker.
I look good on you.
Huh?
What? Okay.
No. An honest to goodness 4.
Okay. All right. So, my gore score won't be quite as high.
You got like super gross though.
No, the gumming part, yes, is very gross. I give it that. You're right. So because of the cringe, mm-hmm. So the gumming part, the bug vomit, there's not really a lot of like bloody, gory violence.
The iridescent flies.
So because God said, hey, you're going to eat poop, so I'm going to make you look good. I will still give it a 7. And most of that is based on like the factor. Overall, see, I like this one. It's not quite as goofy as, well, it's definitely not as goofy as Army of Darkness. It's a little less goofy or stupid. Did you say it's a little less goofy than Evil Dead 2, but I would put this at a 6, or like 6.5. Man, this is why I love doing the show with you. okay. But, all right. So yeah. So, a 9 on the gore score and a 4 from Nancy overall, and a 7 on the gore score and a 6.5 overall from myself. I am Ben. She is Nancy. Together, we are Extreme Horror Replay. You can find us on Instagram at @XHR_podcast. There is a link tree in the bio that you can reach our TeePublic from. It gives you all the links to, well, most of the links to all our listening platforms. There's a link to our Patreon, $4, $6, and $8. You get some cool stuff from that. I think that's about it. So,
be good to each other.
Stay safe and be good to one another. Love one another as yourself.
Why do you look like you're...
I was trying to think of something new.
Oh.
yeah. So, happy travels. Stay safe. Be good to one another. We love you all. And to my beautiful wife, I will hand the mic over to her to say something probably very surprisingly surprising. Oh,
fine. If you know where I can get that coat, if you know it, if you can identify it, PM me.
PM? DM.
Private message.
Direct message.
Private message.
You're a pervert. Anyway, they're going to start sending you dick pics.
I just want the coat. I don't want dicks. I want the coat. Send pictures of the coat all like sprawled out on the bed and
the legs arms open.
Folded. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Fucking wackadoo. All right. We will talk to you all next time. Yes. Definitely. Thank you for listening. And that, yeah. Okay. Goodbye. Thanks. Thanks for listening.
Heidi ho.
Bye.